bringing meditation and everyday life together. Meditation is a process of training and transformation. For it to have meaning, it must be reflected in every aspect of your life, in all your actions and attitudes. If it is not, you have wasted your time. Therefore, you have to persevere with sincerity, vigilance, and determination. You need to make sure that over the course of time, real changes are taking place in you. Though there is no denying that the goal of training the mind is to make us capable of maintaining a certain way of being in the midst of our activities, to say right from the beginning that your whole life and work has become a meditation is probably a bit premature. The hustle and bustle of daily life rarely provides an opening to experience the strength and stability necessary for meditative practice. This is the reason it is important to devote time to meditation itself, even if it is only 30 minutes a day. Of course, if possible, more is better. Especially if you practice in the morning, meditation can give your day an entirely new fragrance. In a subtle but profound way, its effects can permeate your outlook and approach to the things you do, as well as to your relations with the people around you. As you continue through the day, you can be strengthened by the experience you have had in your formal meditation session. You will be able to refer to it inwardly, because it will remain alive in your mind. During pauses in your daily activity, it will be easy for you to re-immerse yourself in the meditation experience, which is now familiar, and you will be able to maintain its beneficial effects. Practicing meditation, as described, is compatible with an active professional and family life. Meditation makes it possible to see the events of your life within a larger perspective. It allows you to experience them with greater serenity, without falling into indifference, to accept whatever happens without a sense of resignation, and to envisage a future on the basis of altruism and confidence. Thus, little by little, through training the mind, you can change your habitual way of being. You can develop a more accurate understanding of reality and a finer understanding of the laws of cause and effect, so you will be less shaken by the drastic reversals that inevitably occur in people's lives, and less carried away by superficial successes. These are the signs of a genuine personal transformation, a transformation that will enable you to act more effectively in the world you live in, and contribute to building a wiser and more altruistic society. Belinda Audio hopes you enjoyed the reading of The Art of Meditation, written by Mathieu Ricard, translated by Cherub Choidzin Cohen, and read by Humphrey Bauer. Acknowledgements. I would like to thank all those who made this book possible. Needless to say, I owe everything of worth in it to the goodness and wisdom of my spiritual masters, the main ones being Kyabje Kangyur Rinpoche, Dilgo Khyentse Rinpoche, Trulshik Rinpoche, Pema Wangyal Rinpoche, and Jigme Khyentse Rinpoche, as well as His Holiness the Dalai Lama, who, according to the great teachers I have just mentioned, is the most accomplished Tibetan Buddhist master of our time. I would also like to thank all those who urged me to gather together these instructions on meditation, because they wanted to meditate. Without them, the idea of composing this small work would not have entered my mind. I would like to thank my loyal publisher, Nicole Lattès, who has always encouraged me to continue with my efforts despite my lack of natural literary talent. I am also very grateful to those friends who have had the patience to read this text and who have improved it considerably both in form and substance through their informed suggestions. Christian Bouillard, Carice and Gérard Busquet, my dear mother, Yann Le Toumelin, Raphaël de Mandre, Gérard Godet, Christophe André, and Michel Bitbol. My deepest gratitude goes to Cherub Choidzin Cohen, who patiently and skillfully translated this book into English, to Vivian Kurtz for helping to significantly improve the text, to my editors, Patty Gift and Sarah Norman, and to my publishers, Atlantic Books and Hay House. The author's royalties from this audiobook will be entirely dedicated to humanitarian projects in Tibet, Nepal, and India, and to the preservation of the Himalayan cultural heritage. Anyone wishing to join in this effort may contact www.karuna-shechen.org and www.shechen.org. For further information about the Belinda audio range, please visit our website, www.belinda.com. If you liked this audiobook, please tell a friend. The Art of Meditation. Meditations. Reflect on how you are now. Do you find patterns of behavior and habitual reactions in yourself that need to be improved or transformed? Look into the deepest part of yourself. Can you sense the presence of a potential for change there? Arouse the confidence to believe that change is possible through effort, determination, and wisdom. Take a vow to transform yourself, not only for your own sake, but also and especially for the sake of one day being able to dispel the suffering of others and contribute to their enduring happiness. Let this determination grow and take root in the deepest part of your being. Turning the mind towards meditation. Realize how precious human life is, and arouse a deep wish to draw out its quintessential qualities. Compared to the life of animals, this human life offers you an extraordinary opportunity to accomplish good things on a scale beyond that of your own personal existence. Your human intelligence is an extremely powerful tool that can create great benefits or horrible disasters. Use it to achieve the gradual elimination of suffering and to discover genuine happiness, not only for yourself, but also for those around you. In this way, every moment that passes will be worth living, and you will have no regrets at the time of death, like a farmer who has cultivated his fields to the best of his ability. Remain for a few moments in this state of profound appreciation. Contemplate the passage of the seasons, of the days and months, of each moment, and the changes that affect every aspect of the life of beings. Then think about death, which is inevitable, but whose time is uncertain. Who knows how much time you have left to live? Even if you live into old age, the latter part of your life will pass just as fast as the beginning, if not faster. So you need to consider, in the deepest part of yourself, what really counts in this life, and use the time left to you to live in the most fruitful way possible, for your own sake and that of others. If you have the wish to meditate and develop your inner qualities, it is never too soon to start.
Thank you.
Let your mind rest in its natural state and clear your thoughts. Recognize how deeply you wish to be free from suffering and experience genuine happiness. Be intently aware that all living beings have the same wish. Reflect on the chains of causality that make certain types of thoughts, words, and actions, for example, those inspired by hatred, greed, jealousy, or pride, result in suffering. And then, on those other chains of causality arising from benevolence and wisdom, which lead to profound contentment. Take advantage of the wisdom of past teachers, who have understood with great insight the mechanisms of happiness and suffering. Draw your conclusions as to what you should or should not do, and arouse the determination to apply those conclusions in practice. For a few moments, be aware of your potential for change. Whatever your present situation is, evolution and transformation are always possible. At the least, you can change your way of seeing things, and then, gradually, your way of being as well. Resolve deep within to liberate yourself from your present situation, and arouse the enthusiasm and the perseverance necessary to develop the good qualities that are latent within you. Mindfulness Meditation. Meditation 1. Observe what arises in your experience, without imposing anything on it, without letting yourself be drawn to it or put off by it. See whatever is in front of you, a flower or any other object. Listen attentively to the sounds nearby or far away. Smell the fragrances and odors. Feel the texture of what you are touching. Register your various sensations, clearly perceiving their characteristics. Be entirely present in what you are doing, whether you are walking, sitting down, writing, doing the dishes, or drinking a cup of tea. Here there are no longer any pleasant or unpleasant tasks, because for mindfulness it doesn't matter what you are doing. What matters is how you do it, which should be with a mental presence that is clear and peaceful, that is attentive to and full of wonder at the present moment, yet still avoids adding your mental constructs onto reality. When you are doing this practice, you stop endlessly flitting back and forth between attraction and rejection. You are just attentive, lucid, aware of each perception and sensation, of each thought that arises and passes away. Feel the freshness of the present moment. Do you find that this brings up a vast, luminous, and serene state of mind in you? Meditation 2. Mindful Walking. Here is a method for cultivating mindfulness that is practiced by many meditators. It consists of walking while concentrating totally on every step you take. You need to walk slowly enough to be able to be mindful of your least movement, but not so slowly that you lose your balance. With each step, be mindful of your balance, of how you touch your heel to the ground and then progressively bring your whole foot down, and of how the other foot comes off the ground and comes down again further on. Keep your gaze directed downward a few steps in front of you, maintaining the walking itself as your main object of concentration. If you don't have a big space, then walk back and forth, pausing for a second or two each time you turn round, and remaining mindful of this interruption of your movement. You may also combine walking with mindfulness of everything you encounter, that you see, hear, and feel. Inner calm. Meditation. Mindfulness of the breath. Sit in a comfortable position. If possible, adopt the 7-point posture described earlier, or at least take a position in which you are erect and well balanced. Here, mindfulness consists of remaining continuously aware of your breathing, without forgetting it or letting yourself be distracted. Breathe calmly and naturally. Concentrate all your attention on the coming and going of the breath. More specifically, focus your attention on the sensation created by the passage of air through your nostrils, the place where you perceive it most acutely. The precise spot varies from person to person. It might be at the opening of the nostrils, a little further inside, or higher up in the sinuses. Also, notice the moment when breathing is suspended, between the out-breath and the following in-breath. After that, concentrate again on the point where you feel the breath passing. Then also note the point when the breath halts for a moment, between the in-breath and the following out-breath. Stay concentrated in the same way during the next cycle of breathing, breath after breath, without getting tense, but also without relaxing to the point of falling into a sluggish state. Your awareness of the breath should be clear and calm. The Buddha gave the example of a cloud of dust raised by the wind. The dust was dispelled by a rain shower, giving way to a pure and brilliant sky. The dust here is the agitation and confusion of the mind. Concentration on the breath is the saving rain shower, and the pure sky is calm and inner clarity. Avoid intentionally altering the rhythm of your breath. Your breathing will probably slow a little, but that should be allowed to happen naturally. Whether your breath is long or short, simply be aware of the fact that it is long or short. Sooner or later you will wander into a state of distraction, accompanied by a lot of thoughts, into a vague, sleepy state, or even a combination of both. That is, into a state of confusion marked by erratic thought associations. It is at this point that vigilance has to be applied. As soon as you notice that you have lost your concentration, just resume it, without adding to your distraction by feeling regret or guilt. Noticing that you have been distracted already marks the return of your mindfulness. Just come back to the breath, like a butterfly coming back to a flower after having fluttered around here and there for no apparent reason. When thoughts appear, don't try to block them, which is not possible anyway because they are already there. Just avoid feeding them. Let them pass through the field of your awareness, the way a bird passes through the sky without leaving a trace. Occasionally, you can also take the distraction itself as the object of your mindfulness. Then, once your mind has become attentive again, return your attention to the breath. If other physical sensations appear, for example, pain from sitting in the same position for a long time, do not rebel against the pain or become overwhelmed by it. Include it in your mindfulness, and then return to observing your breath. If the pain becomes so acute that it disturbs your meditation, it is a good idea to relax your position for a few moments, or practice mindful walking for a short time. Then resume your meditation on the breath, with a fresh mind and renewed concentration. Variation 1. One method for reviving your concentration when it has become too weak is to count your breath. For example, you can mentally count 1 at the end of a complete out-breath, in-breath cycle, then 2 at the end of the next cycle, and so on up to 10. Then begin again with 1. This will help maintain your concentration. If you prefer, you can also count 1 at the end of an in-breath and 2 at the end of the following out-breath. This method and the ones that follow can be applied from time to time whenever it seems helpful. But it is not necessary to count your breath during your whole meditation. Variation 2. Another method is to mentally repeat 1-1-1-1-1 fairly rapidly during the course of an in-breath, then 2-2-2-2-2 in the same way during the course of the next out-breath. For the next cycle, count 3-3-3-3-3 during the in-breath and 4-4-4-4-4 during the out-breath. Count that way up to 10, then start a new series. Another possibility is to count rapidly from 1 to 10 during the in-breath and then do the same during the out-breath. The object of these various ways of counting the breath is to refresh your concentration when it becomes sluggish or distracted. Variation 3. Instead of observing the breath itself, you may concentrate on feeling the up and down movement of the abdomen that accompanies your breathing. Variation 4. You can also associate a simple phrase with the coming and going of the breath. For example, while breathing out, you can mentally say, "May all beings be happy," and while breathing in, "May all their suffering be dispelled." Variation 5. Practitioners who recite mantras can combine silent recitation with attention to the breath. Thus, with Om Mani Padme Hum, which is the mantra of the Buddha of Compassion, Avalokiteshvara in Sanskrit, you say Om while breathing in, Mani Padme while holding the breath for a brief moment, and Hum while breathing out. Variation 6. Normally, you should not influence the movement of the breath, nor slow down at the transitional point between in-breaths and out-breaths. But in this variant, you concentrate for a few instants on the pause in breathing as the breath dissipates at the end of an out-breath. This is also the point at which discursive thoughts are suspended for a few instants. During this brief moment, rest in this clear, bright space, calm and free from mental fabrications. You should not, however, conceptualize this experience. Just recognize it is a basic aspect of your mind that is always present behind the curtain of thoughts. Meditation 1. Mindfulness of the body. Adopt a comfortable, relaxed posture and direct your awareness to your body. When walking, be aware that you are walking. When standing, be aware that you are standing. When sitting, be aware that you are sitting. When lying down, be aware that you are lying down. Be aware of bending down or straightening up, bending forwards or backwards, lowering or lifting your head, eating, drinking, and so on. You can also be mindful of your breath, as described earlier. Then, concentrate on the various parts of your body, one after the other. Begin with your head, hair, ears, eyes, mouth, teeth, etc. Go down along your neck, shoulders, arms, hands, and fingernails. Move to the chest, the waist, going down to the soles of your feet. Go up again. Then visualize the inside of your body, the flesh, the tendons, the bones, the heart, the lungs, the veins and arteries, and the blood running through them, the other bodily fluids, the liver and the intestines, and focus your mindfulness on them. Finally, simply place your awareness on whichever perception of the body arises in your mind. Meditation 2. Mindfulness of feelings. Whenever you perceive any feeling, whether pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral, simply embrace it with your awareness. Feel the breeze passing on your face, the touch between your two hands, or the point of contact of your feet with the ground. If the feeling is pleasant, simply be aware of its pleasantness. If it is unpleasant, be aware of its unpleasantness. In the latter case, for instance, the sheer awareness of the unpleasantness replaces the reaction of rejection that usually takes place. If you experience a diffuse feeling of your inner organs, concentrate on that. You may also concentrate on some parts of the body where you may not have any particular sensation at the moment, like your forehead or ears. Become aware of the subtle feeling of their presence. Finally, try to investigate the very nature of feelings. Aren't they just movements of the mind? Isn't it the same awareness that perceives them all without being affected by them? Meditation 3. Mindfulness of mind. When thoughts arise, whether you follow after them or try to chase them, you often feel overwhelmed by them. Instead, simply be aware of your thoughts and watch them like a spectator. Whether your mind enters a state of craving, resentment, or confusion, whether it is focused or scattered, dull or lucid, calm or agitated, be mindful of these states. As will be explained later, you will also need to understand the nature of these thoughts and find ways to free yourself from afflictive mental states. Meditation 4. Mindfulness of phenomena. Be fully aware of whatever comes into the field of your experience and becomes an object for your mind. Forms, sounds, odors, tastes, textures, thoughts, emotions. Joy, sadness, desire, fear, irritation, dullness, and so on. Whatever arises becomes a support for your meditation. Watch how these phenomena appear, remain for a while, and vanish. Reflect on their transitory and illusory nature. When your mind jumps from one phenomenon to another, sounds, forms, smells, etc., and many thoughts flash through your mind in quick succession, if you remain mindful, the objects that attract your attention and thoughts themselves may change, but you will be able to achieve a continuous, all-pervading, panoramic mindfulness. Meditation. Sit down and assume the seven-point posture. Let your mind calm down for a few moments, and then visualize Buddha Shakyamuni in the space in front of you. He is seated on a moon disc, which is resting on a lotus and a throne held up by 8 lions. His body is resplendent, like a mountain of gold. With his right hand, he touches the ground next to his right knee, in the gesture of taking the earth to witness. His left hand rests in his lap, in the gesture of equanimity, and holds a begging bowl filled with nectar. He wears the 3 monastic robes, and from his body emanates infinite rays of light and wisdom that fill the universe. Bring this image to life. Imagine that the Buddha you have visualized is not inert like a drawing or a statue. It is not made of flesh and blood either. His body is luminous and transparent like a rainbow, radiant with wisdom and compassion. Try to concentrate one-pointedly on this complete visualization. You may then turn your attention to the details, to the perfect oval of the face, to the eyes filled with wisdom and love, on the harmoniously proportioned nose and ears, on the smile, on the rays of light streaming out from the body. Progressively extend your concentration to all the details of the Buddha's form from top to bottom and from bottom to top, giving it the same level of meticulous attention a painter would give. Again, visualize the whole form of the Buddha while retaining each detail as distinctly as possible. To reinforce your concentration, immediately neutralize anything that might disturb your mind. If your thoughts get agitated so that they keep you from developing a clear image, slightly lower your gaze, which normally rests in space, and concentrate on the lower part of the Buddha, the crossed legs, the throne held up by the lions or the lotus seat. The effect of that will be to reduce your mental agitation. If your mind falls into a state of sluggishness, slackness or dull indifference, raise your eyes and concentrate on the upper part of the visualization, the Buddha's face, his eyes, the point between his eyebrows. If your visualization is not clear, don't give up, but keep trying to get it more refined and precise. If it is clear, hold it in a natural way without tension. When your mind becomes stable and peaceful, examine it. Realize that the image you are visualizing is not the Buddha himself, but a projection of your mind, whose goal is to help you cultivate concentration. Even though your mind has the ability to concentrate on an object, the mind itself cannot be found anywhere. It is impossible to locate mind, to identify its shape, color, or form, or to see where it comes from, where it stays, or where it is going. You will never find anything. The mind is not an independent entity that can be identified as such. The same is true of the body. What we call the body is simply a conglomeration of many elements put together. We give the name heap to a collection of grains, sheaf to a collection of dried straw, and crowd to a gathering of people, but none of them are entities in their own right. Likewise, for this collection of things we call the body. If you take away the skin and the flesh, the marrow, the bones, and the different organs, once they have all been separated from each other, there is no other entity present that you can identify as the body. In fact, all phenomena, in their infinite variety throughout the universe, appear as a result of particular causes and conditions coming temporarily together. You take phenomena to be things that truly exist simply because you have not examined them properly. In truth, they have no solid intrinsic existence at all. When it becomes clear that your body, the image of the Buddha you are visualizing, and all phenomena are the display of the mind, and that the mind's nature is not an entity endowed with independent existence, but rather a dynamic stream of experiences, simply remain in the recognition of that nature without wandering. Remain attentive to whether or not thoughts interrupt this recognition. When thoughts arise, be aware of them without either hindering or encouraging them. This is what is called deep insight. It is essential to bring together mental calm, shamatha, and deep insight, vipassana, in this way. Meditation. Direct your mind inward and allow it to contemplate its primary quality, which is simply knowing. This faculty of knowing, which is mindfulness in its pure state, illuminates all thoughts and all perceptions. It is a constant and fundamental quality of the flow of consciousness. You can experience it even in the absence of thoughts and mental images. Try to identify this primordial aspect of all experience, and then let your mind rest a few moments in this non-dual awareness that is clear, lucid, and devoid of concepts and discursive thoughts. Meditations on Altruistic Love. Meditation 1. Altruistic love. Imagine that a young child approaches you and gives you a look that is joyous, confident, and full of innocence. You stroke his head, look at him with tenderness, and take him in your arms. You feel a sense of unconditional benevolence and love. Let yourself be entirely pervaded by this love that wishes for nothing more than his well-being. Then, cultivate, sustain, and nourish this feeling of loving kindness. When it declines, revive it. At the end of the session, rest for a few moments in the mindful awareness of love. You could also choose someone else towards whom you feel great tenderness and deep gratitude. Wish with all your heart that this person will find happiness and the causes of happiness. And then extend this wish to all those you are close to, then to those you know less well, then progressively to all beings. Finally, extend this wish to your personal enemies and to the enemies of all humanity. This last case obviously does not mean you wish them success in their deadly plans. You are simply formulating a strong wish that they will give up their hatred, greed, cruelty, and indifference, and that benevolence and care for the happiness of others will be born in their minds. The worse an illness is, the more need the sick person has for care, attention, and goodwill. In this way, embrace the totality of beings with a feeling of limitless love. Meditation 2. Compassion. Now, imagine that someone dear to you has been the victim of a terrible accident. It is nighttime, and she is lying covered with blood on the roadside, suffering from terrible pain. Help is late in arriving, and you don't know what to do. You feel this dear person suffering intensely, as though it was your own, and this is mixed with a growing sense of distress and helplessness. This pain strikes you in the deepest part of your being, to the point where it becomes nearly intolerable. What should you do? At this moment, let yourself go into an immense feeling of love towards this person. Imagine taking her gently in your arms. Imagine that waves of love stream forth from you and pour over her. Imagine that each atom of her suffering is replaced by an atom of love. Wish from the bottom of your heart for her to survive, be healed, and cease to suffer. This feeling of compassion comes from the same place in you as altruistic love, and is nothing else than love applied to suffering. Now extend this compassion to other people who are close to you, then, little by little, to all beings, making the following wish deep in your heart. May all beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. Meditation 3. Rejoicing in the happiness of others. There are people in this world who have tremendously good qualities, and others who lavish benefits on humanity, and whose humanitarian projects have been crowned with success. There are also people who have realized their aspirations through great effort and steadfast perseverance, and still others who possess many talents. Rejoice from the bottom of your heart in their accomplishments. Wish for their good qualities not to wane, but, on the contrary, to continue and flourish. The ability to feel joy in the most positive qualities of others is the best antidote there is to discouragement and to a dim and desperate view of the world and of human beings. It is also the remedy for envy and jealousy, which are reflections of the inability to rejoice in the happiness of others. Meditation 4. Impartiality. Impartiality is an essential element in the three preceding meditations, because the wish for all beings to be delivered from suffering and its causes has to be universal and not dependent on our personal bias or on the way others treat us. Take the point of view of a doctor who takes it on himself to heal sick people no matter who they are or how seriously ill they are. Realize that all beings, whether they are close to you, strangers, or enemies, want to avoid suffering. Also, reflect on the fundamental interdependence of all the phenomena of the universe and of the beings that inhabit it. Interdependence is the very basis of altruism. Like the sun that shines equally on good people and evil ones, on beautiful landscapes or dung heaps, do your best to extend the altruistic love, compassion, and joy you cultivated in the three preceding meditations to all beings without distinction. Recall again that when it comes to your own and others' enemies, you do not intend to encourage or passively tolerate their attitudes and harmful acts, but you look at them as very sick or mad people. So, with the same goodwill that you feel towards those who are close to you, wish for the ignorance and destructive feelings that rule them to be eradicated from their consciousness. Combining the four meditations. Begin with altruistic love, the strong wish for others to find happiness and the causes of happiness. If, after a while, this love drifts towards self-centered attachment, move on to the meditation on impartiality, in order to extend your love and compassion equally to all beings, dear ones, strangers, or enemies. If your impartiality turns into indifference, it is time to think of people who are suffering and arouse intense compassion within you, with the wish to relieve these beings from all their suffering. But it can happen that as a result of being continually concerned with the endless misfortunes of others, you may be overcome by a feeling of depression and helplessness, even despair, to the point where you feel overwhelmed by the immensity of the task and lose heart. At that point, meditate on your joy in the happiness of others, thinking of those people who possess great human qualities, and of those people whose altruistic aspirations have been successful. Rejoice fully in that. If that joy turns into blind euphoria and distraction, go back again to altruistic love, and so on. Develop the four thoughts in this way, while avoiding the pitfalls possible in each of them. At the end of your meditation, contemplate the interdependence of all things for a few moments, and their lack of autonomous, intrinsic existence. Understand that just as a bird needs two wings to fly, you must develop wisdom and compassion simultaneously. Wisdom is a better understanding of reality, and compassion is the desire for all beings to be liberated from the causes of suffering. A sublime exchange. Meditation. Begin by feeling a strong sense of altruistic love towards a person who has been very good to you. Your mother, for example. Think about her kindness. She gave you life after having gone through the difficulties of pregnancy and the pains of childbirth. As you grew up, she took care of you without sparing her strength. She put your happiness before her own and was always ready to sacrifice everything for you. In order to arouse strong compassion, imagine that your mother is undergoing intense suffering, that she lacks everything she needs, that she is dying of hunger and thirst and is being treated badly. Imagine other painful situations she is facing. You can do this for any person you have chosen as the object of your meditation. It could be a child, a loyal friend, or an animal that you love. You could also imagine, for example, a doe pursued by hunters and their pack of dogs. Cornered and filled with panic, she jumps off a cliff and breaks her bones. The hunters find her dying and finish her off with their knives. Picture all kinds of suffering in your mind with graphic precision. Imagine old or sick people suffering from the agonies of disease. Poor people who barely have enough to live on. Think of those who have been deprived of everything they need, and also of people who are victims of their own minds and are being driven mad by desire or hatred. Do not forget to include in your love and compassion all those people you consider to be your enemies and who cause you trouble. Visualize in front of you all humanity gathered into an immense crowd, and recall that, like you, they have suffered in many ways through an infinite cycle of lifetimes. When an intense feeling of compassion arises, begin the practice of exchange. Think that as you breathe out, along with your breath, you send out to those who are suffering all your happiness, your vitality, your good fortune, your health, and so on, in the form of refreshing and radiant white nectar. Imagine that you give them these benefits without any reserve, and that this nectar fulfills all their needs. If their life is in danger, imagine it is prolonged. If they are poor, imagine they receive whatever they need. If they are sick, imagine they are healed. And if they are miserable, imagine they find happiness. As you breathe in, imagine you are taking upon yourself, in the form of a dark mass, all the illness, physical and mental problems, as well as the emotional disturbances of these beings, and that this exchange relieves their torments. Imagine their suffering comes back to you like a mist blown by the wind. When you have absorbed, transformed, and eliminated all their pain and trouble, feel a great joy, mixed with a feeling of non-attachment. Repeat this practice many times until it becomes second nature. Never think you have done enough for those who are suffering. This method can be applied at any time, in any circumstances, and in particular when you yourself are suffering. In this case, generating altruism and compassion opens your heart to other people, instead of letting your pain push you deeper into self-centered distress. As a bonus, it also acts like a soothing balm on your own pain. You can do this exercise at any time, in and out of meditation sessions, and apply it to all activities of your daily life. Variation 1. As you breathe out, think that your heart is a brilliant shining sphere from which rays of white light stream out, bringing happiness to all beings in all directions. As you breathe in, take in the torments of all beings in the form of a dense dark cloud that penetrates into your heart and dissolves into a mass of white light without leaving a trace. Variation 2. Imagine your body multiplies itself into an infinite number of forms that reach the far ends of the universe, taking on all the suffering of all beings they encounter and offering them their happiness. Then, your body transforms into clothing for those who are cold, into food for those who are hungry, and into a refuge for those who are shelterless. Then you become a wish-fulfilling gem, somewhat larger than your body and sparkling like a magnificent blue sapphire that naturally satisfies all the needs of anyone. Soothing physical pain. Meditation 1. Mindfulness. Observe with pure mindfulness the sensation of pain without interpreting, rejecting, or fearing it. Immerse yourself in the mindfulness of the present moment. Your sensation will then retain its intensity, but lose its repellent character. Meditation 2. The power of mental imagery. Visualize a soothing, warm, and luminous nectar penetrates the place where the pain is at its worst, dissolves it little by little, and finally transforms it into a sensation of well-being. This nectar fills your entire body, and the painful sensation fades away. If the pain increases in intensity, then increase the strength of the nectar accordingly, thinking that each atom of pain is now replaced by an atom of well-being. in this way, transmute the very essence of the pain into bliss. Meditation 3. The Force of Compassion. Arouse a powerful feeling of altruistic love and compassion towards all beings, and think, I wish so much to put an end to my suffering, but others beside me are tormented by pain comparable to my own, and sometimes even worse. How I wish that they too could be liberated from that pain. You may also imagine that you have deliberately volunteered to experience that pain, to spare someone, your child, for instance, from enduring it. Then your pain will no longer be experienced as something degrading or overwhelming. Filled now with altruism, you stop asking yourself bitterly, why me? But rejoice that someone else has been spared that suffering. When you are totally absorbed in yourself, you are vulnerable and an easy prey to confusion and feelings of distress, helplessness, and anxiety. If, instead of that, you feel a strong sense of empathy, combined with unconditional love towards the suffering of others, resignation will be replaced by courage, depression by love, and meanness by openness towards people around you. Meditation 4. Contemplating the nature of the mind itself. Contemplate the nature of pain. Even if it is sharp and penetrating, ask yourself, what color is it? What shape is it? What other unchangeable characteristics it might have? With this kind of inquiry, the characteristics of the pain get blurry the minute you try to focus on it. You will soon recognize that behind the pain there is a pure awareness, the very same one that is at the source of any other sensation or thought. Relax your mind and try to let the pain rest within this pure awareness, free from any mental construct. By taking this approach, you are no longer just the passive victim of the pain, and, little by little, you will be able to face it and overcome the bruising negative effects it has on your mind. Deep insight, Vipassana. Meditation. Imagine a freshly bloomed rose. It is so beautiful. Now imagine that you are a small insect nibbling on one of its petals. It tastes so good. Now imagine yourself as a tiger standing before this rose. For him, it makes no difference whether it is a flower or a bale of hay. Now transport yourself into the heart of this rose and imagine yourself as an atom there. You no longer exist except as pathways of energy in a kaleidoscopic universe, amid a whirl of particles passing through nearly empty space. Where did the rose go? Where is its color, form, texture, fragrance, its taste, its beauty? As for the particles, if you look at them closely, are they solid objects? Not really, the physicists say. They are events arising in the quantum void. They are waves of probability and, ultimately, of energy. Energy? Is that an entity? Isn't it more like a potential for manifestation that neither exists nor doesn't exist? What is left of the rose? If you are the victim of a strong desire that is troubling you and won't leave you alone, begin by examining its main characteristics and identifying the appropriate antidotes. One aspect of desire is urgency. To counter that urgency, calm your thoughts and observe the coming and going of the breath, as described earlier. Desire also has a restrictive and disturbing aspect. As an antidote to this, imagine the comforting and soothing quality of inner freedom. Spend a few moments allowing a feeling of freedom to arise and grow. Desire tends to distort reality and to make you view its object as fundamentally desirable. In order to regain a more accurate view of things, take the time to examine all aspects of the object of your desire and meditate for a few moments on its less attractive and less desirable sides. Finally, let your mind relax into the peace of awareness, free from hope and fear, and appreciate the freshness of the present moment, which acts like a balm on the burning of desire. Think of someone who has been malicious towards you or people close to you. Someone who has made you suffer. Also, think of people who are causing or have caused tremendous suffering to others. Realize that if the mental poisons that led them to behave this way were to vanish from their minds, they would naturally cease to be your enemies and those of humanity. Wish with all your heart for this transformation to take place. To do this, make use of the meditation on altruistic love, in which, as you heard earlier, you formulate this wish as follows. May all sentient beings be liberated from suffering and the causes of suffering. May hatred, greed, arrogance, contempt, indifference, miserliness, and jealousy vanish from their minds and be replaced by altruistic love, contentment, modesty, appreciation, concern, generosity and sympathy. Let this feeling of unconditional benevolence pervade all your thoughts. Meditation 1. Imagine that you are overcome by very strong anger. It seems to you that you have no choice but to let yourself be carried away. Helpless, your mind is repeatedly drawn to the object that triggered your rage, as iron is drawn to a magnet. Someone has insulted you, and the image of this person and his words constantly come to your mind. Every time you think of them, you set loose a new flood of resentment, which nourishes the vicious cycle of thoughts and reactions to those thoughts. It is time to change your tactics. Turn away from the object of your anger and contemplate the anger itself. This is a little like watching a fire, but no longer feeding it with wood. No matter how intense the fire is, in a little time it will go out all by itself. In the same way, if you turn your attention to simply looking at the anger, it is impossible for it to persist on its own. No matter how intense an emotion is, it will wear itself out and disappear naturally once you stop feeding it. Also understand that in the end, the most powerful anger attack is no more than a thought. Take a closer look at this. Where does the anger get the power to dominate you to this degree? Does it have a weapon? Can it burn you like fire? Can it crush you like a rock? Can you locate it in your chest, in your heart, or in your head? If the answer to this last question seems to be yes, does it have a color or a form? You would really have great difficulty in attributing such characteristics to it. When you look at a big black cloud in a stormy sky, it appears to be substantial enough to sit on. But if you fly into this cloud, you will find there is nothing solid to hold on to. There is nothing there but intangible mist. Similarly, when you attentively examine anger, you will find nothing in it that could justify the tyrannical influence it has over you. The more you try to pin it down, the more it melts away under your gaze, like frost under the rays of the rising sun. Finally, where does this anger come from? Where is it right now? Where does it disappear to? All you can say is that it comes from your mind, endures there for a while, then fades away back into it. As for the mind itself, it is ungraspable. It is not a distinct entity. It is nothing more than a stream of experiences. Meditation 2. If you notice that you have become anxious, when you are about to miss a plane, for instance, try to simply be fully aware of your anxiety. As you continue to do this, you will soon notice your anxiety begins to be less oppressive, and then gradually fades away. Why? Before you apply mindfulness, anxiety is the main component of your mind, filling its entire landscape. As you become aware of it, you experience both anxiety and the awareness of it. The part of your mind that is aware of anxiety is not anxious. It is just aware. Anxiety is now just one aspect of your mental landscape. As your awareness becomes more and more pervasive, anxiety loses its intensity and its grip on your mind. Eventually, it vanishes. Look and see what it is that composes the I, the ego. Is it the body? The body is a composite of flesh and bone. Is it consciousness? Consciousness is a succession of fleeting thoughts. Your history? Your history is only memories of things that no longer exist. Your name? You attach all sorts of concepts to a name. Your genealogy, your reputation, your social status. But in the end, it is no more than a combination of letters. If the ego really was your profound essence, your fear of doing away with it would be understandable. However, if it is only an illusion, liberating yourself from it would not be destroying the core of your being, but just correcting an error and opening your eyes to reality. Error offers no more resistance to knowledge than darkness does to light. Darkness that has lasted for millions of years can disappear in an instant the moment a lamp is lit. When the I ceases to be considered the center of the world, you naturally develop concern for others. Self-centered contemplation of your own suffering discourages you, whereas altruistic care for the suffering of others just redoubles your determination to work for their relief. So the profound sense of an I at the core of your being is clearly something you have to subject to an honest examination. Where is this I located? It can't be in my body, because when I say, I'm sad, it's my consciousness that feels the sense of sadness, not my body. Is the I then only in my consciousness? That is far from being clear. When I say, somebody pushed me, is it my consciousness that was pushed? Obviously not. But the I cannot be located outside both the body and the consciousness. So is the notion of I to be connected with a combination of body and consciousness? That would take us to a very abstract concept. The only solution to this dilemma is to consider the I as a mental designation for a dynamic process, a composite of changing relationships that bring together your sensations, your mental images, your emotions, and your concepts. In the end, the I is no more than a name you use to designate a continuum in the same way that you call a river Amazon or Ganges. Every river has a history. It flows through a unique landscape, and its water might have healing properties or be polluted. For that reason, it is legitimate to give it a name and distinguish it from another river. However, no entity exists in the river that could be called its core or essence. In the same way, the I, or the ego, exists only as a convention, not at all in the form of an entity that constitutes the core of your being. The ego always has something to lose and something to gain. Natural simplicity of mind has nothing to lose and nothing to gain. It is not necessary to add anything to it or take anything away. The ego feeds on dwelling on the past and anticipating the future, but it cannot survive in the simplicity of the present moment. Rest in that simplicity, in the mindfulness of the present moment, which is freedom, the ultimate resolution of all conflicts, all fabrications, all mental projections, all distortions, all identifications, and all divisions. A thought arises as though from nowhere. It might be a pleasant thought or a troubling one. It stays for a few moments and then dies away, to be replaced by others. When it disappears, like the sound of a bell fading, where does it go? No one can say. Certain thoughts recur frequently in your mind, where they create states ranging from joy to sadness, desire to indifference, resentment to sympathy. In this way, thoughts have tremendous power to condition our state of being. But where do they get this power? They don't have an army at their command, nor do they possess fuel to start a fire with. They don't have stones they can stone you with. They are only mental constructs, so they should not be able to harm you. Let your mind observe itself. Thoughts arise. The mind exists in some way because you experience it. Apart from that, what could be said about it? Examine your mind and the thoughts that arise there. Can any concrete characteristics be attributed to them? Do they have a location? Do they have a color? A form? The more you look, the less you find. You note, of course, that the mind has a capacity to know, but it has no other intrinsic and real characteristic. This is the reason Buddhism defines the mind as a continuum of experiences. It does not constitute a distinct entity. It is empty of inherent existence. Having found nothing in any way substantial, remain for a few moments in this state of not having found anything. When a thought appears, just let it arise and pass away by itself, without either blocking or prolonging it. During the brief time that your mind is not burdened by any discursive thought, contemplate its nature. In this gap, after past thoughts have ceased and future thoughts have not yet appeared, do you perceive a consciousness that is pure and luminous? Remain a few moments in this state of natural simplicity, free from concept. Dedicating the fruits of our efforts. Meditation. Arouse this aspiration. May the positive energy created not only by this meditation, but by all my good words, deeds, and thoughts, past, present, and future, help relieve the suffering of beings now and in the future. Wish from the bottom of your heart for war, famine, injustice, and all the sufferings of poverty and physical or mental illness to be pacified through the power of what you have done. Don't think that such a dedication of the benefits of your action is like sharing a piece of cake among 1,000 people, where each person receives only a few crumbs. Think that every person receives the whole piece of cake. Also, wish for all beings to find happiness, both temporary and ultimate. May ignorance, hatred, greed, and other afflictions be eradicated from their minds, and may they completely attain all the good human qualities as well as supreme enlightenment. Such a dedication is an essential seal on all spiritual practice and allows the constructive energy created by your meditation and all your positive acts to be perpetuated.